start here. And in the opening, I want to recognize a high school student. You know, we've done that on two occasions in my 10 years or 9 years as chair, and I wish we could do it on more occasions, where high school students take an active interest in the work of this committee. And Ms. Zakwanda Madalani, our researcher, very kindly has brought to us so that Mr. Christian Veilgat from Pinelands High School can also hear how things work. And we welcome you. You are very, very welcome. You can see he's sitting next to the staff and not among the members. You're very, very welcome, and we've asked him to please share this. We know it'll be a positive parliamentary experience with his fellow learners. Do you wish to say anything? You don't be nervous. I'm not that frightened. No, he's been very well trained at Pinelands. All right. Members, thank you for being here on time. And it's good to hear that Cape Town dams are up to nearly 67%. I'd like us at the outset to propose the adoption of the agenda. Yes, Honourable Williams.
Chairperson, I propose the adoption of the agenda.
Seconded by Honourable Kacharia. Thank you. Just on mic.
Seconded.
Must say for myself, it's the first time we've gone on track before reaching apologies. Now, we do have certain apologies that are standing apologies from people who are in other committees. Let's have that first.
Chair, that's Mr. Esterhazen, who's attending PC on energy this morning.
And I would like to indicate to Mr. Esterhazen that we were unaware that he serves on five committees. This is simply one of the five. Who else is there an apology from?
Yeah, I received an apology from Mr. Mushlobo, who was attending to party matters. That's the only to date apologies I've received.
Is there the ANC chief, the whip, Honourable Khademi?
Chairperson, I'm not a chief whip, I'm a whip of the committee. Chairperson, I think Honourable Mantashe had that bereavement, you know, I think he's still standing, because as you know that, immediately after the funeral, we have to wind up certain things. I think that must be on record.
So, an Honourable Mantashe. Now, by the looks of things, then, we've addressed almost everyone here in terms of full membership. Thank you very much. Having got those, we're then members. Staff, I think Mr. Hermans, received a minority report from the DA, but we are governed by the rules of Parliament, and so I've asked Mr. Hermans to address the matter.
Chairperson, as you can recall, last week I explained the process going forward on the matter. Mr. McPherson has then raised matter of a minority report, and I think I may have not been as 100% clear to Mr. McPherson, is that in the committee report, if there is not a unanimous position, minority views can be expressed on the matter. So in terms of the rules of Parliament, Rule 1664A, a committee may not submit a minority report. But in terms of rule, I'm going to come to the other rule. In committee report rule 288.3F, must, if not unanimous, report in addition to the views of the representative of the majority in the committee.
Lower and clearer.
Okay. In addition to the views representative of the majority in the committee convey any views of a minority in the committee in order to facilitate debate when the report comes before the committee. So, Chair, we need to address how we're going to deal with the comments made by Mr. McPherson.
Well, I'm going to allow Honourable McPherson to speak, but let me say we will deal with the any issues within the rules of Parliament. Honourable McPherson.
Thank you very much. My document is a comprehensive account of the way that the bill has followed process since it was introduced, and I appreciate that the rules do not allow a submission of a minority report. However, I do think that it does, that, as I understand, there's nothing that precludes annexures being attached to a committee report. So it would be very simple to deal with it by, say, under minority reviews, refer to Annexure A, of which we can easily retitle this Annexure A. That would be my proposal.
Thank you very much. I'm now just looking exactly at the report, Honourable McPherson. I think it's dated the 4th of September, is that it? Right. Honourable Hadebe?
Chairperson, if we put an annexure, it will be tantamount to putting a minority report there, which is contradictory to what the role is saying. I think that what they must indicate precisely, let's say if there's a clause they don't agree with, just indicate that clause so that there are no introduction preambles, because it's tantamount to a report if it's like that. So please, we cannot entertain the issue of annexures.
Right, now I've heard two members, the DA proponent for this. I would like to ask a legal parliamentary advisor. We're referring to the rules. I'm sure Mr. Hermans spoke to you about the matter, and there is a need for that clarity.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I agree with Mr. Herman's view on the rules. Rule 166 definitely precludes this committee from submitting a minority report, and I agree that by attaching it as an annexure, it will be seen as a minority report. In fact, I can recall where that was proposed by a committee before, and it was the advice from the National Assembly table staff was that that would not be allowed, as it would be regarded as a minority report. The idea with minority views is that it must be included within the report of the committee.
Honourable McPherson.
Thank you very much. I think it would be important that if one wanted to include the views of the minority, it would be important to capture the way in which they have seen the bill go through its passage. So I would then propose that that simply this view, we can just scratch out the word minority report, and it can be a view which then is added into the committee report under minority views, and so the text can simply just be included in that space.
Well, having looked at the rule myself, of course I'm not a legal expert on the matter, and I look at 166, there is no doubt that that particular rule is saying that under 4A, a committee may not submit a minority report. If we all agreed on that, at least indicate, so no objection to that part of the rule. We then move, of course, to a continuation of that, because rules as legislation need to be read contextually as a whole. And then under I just want to get it. It's 288, is it? Committee's report. The committee's report. And under there, you will see, I think it is 3. If. Must, if it is not a unanimous report. And this won't be a unanimous report, we understand. I, Roman numeral I, specify in which aspects and why there was not consensus. In addition to the views representative of the majority in the committee, convey any views of a minority in the committee in order to facilitate debate when the report comes before the House. And it goes on. So in the past, when we have done this, and in fact, this arose even under a previous set of rules, but in fact the same set applied in this particular case. We incorporated them as we went along, and at the end, so you would hear clause 11, for example, so many votes, and the DA objected, the IFP, the Freedom Front, you know, etc., etc., and at the end of the report, you note that in the DA's view, clause X or whatever it was, section Y, boom. And you would then extract exactly what you may have said here. So your views are captured, but they become an integral part of the committee report. All right, Honourable MacPherson.
Thank you, Chair. I disagree with the way in which you want to handle that, because in fact I think it would be difficult to dictate the view of the majority to the view of the minority. It is a minority view which I clearly don't share with the majority. So it would be difficult to try and buttress an argument of the majority with a view of the minority. And I would specifically, outside of specific clauses, issues like processes followed, financial implications. And if you look at my document, I have gone into further problems that we see. And one obviously deals with process, but there's issues with regards to enforceability, financial implications of the state, financial implications of the credit market. I don't think that it would be, sufficient to see, to clearly have a one-liner when there is so much more information that clearly captures the view of the majority. So what I would propose is that three minority views would simply move to after certification of the bill number 7, and our views would be specifically captured under headings that we believe need to be incorporated into the report for the debate to be facilitated.
Thank you for those points. Honourable Kachalia, the Honourable Khadebi had his hand up first. I will take you after Honourable Williams. Honourable Khadebi.
Chairperson, I think that this report is good for the debate in the House, but it cannot go as this, because the way the report must be drafted, let's say if the Freedom Front oppose clause 12, report, we can indicate that clause 12, the Freedom Front had this opinion, that's a view. But this report here is tantamount to circumventing the rules of the House. If they have an opinion, they'll do it in the House. That's why they're going to express it. Please, Chair.
Honourable Williams, do you wish to add?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I also don't think that the minority report should form part of our committee report. And the reason I'm thinking this is I've had the opportunity to read the minority report, and I don't agree with some of the things that are said here. And therefore, if you add it to the report and then we adopt it, it'll mean that I'll reject that section. It's a bit problematic because some of the things I do not believe are correctly said here. I'm not saying that there's dodginess. I'm just saying that I don't think that all of this report is necessarily reflective of what happened in the committee and the intent of the committee. Thank you.
Much Honourable Kacharia.
Thank you, Chair. In the committee's report, which I have in my hands here, under point 3, provision is made for minority views. Now, if under those views a submission, to use a neutral word, is inserted by the DA and the Honourable Macpherson, then surely that should be allowed. There is no prescription, as I see it, as to what it should say, certainly, because a minority view is a minority view. And to the Honourable Williams' point, that's the whole point of it. It disagrees. But there's also no prescription as to how it should be constituted. So the view would have a generic view on an overarching opinion, and it would refer specifically to clauses that we as the DA took issue with. And on that basis, it should be included holus bolus, as they say. Thank you.
I'm going to take, finally, to conclude this before I make a ruling, Advocate van der Merwe.
Chair, I actually do not really have much to add to what I said before. In the end, it is the committee's report. It's for the committee to decide what the report would look like. There is provision in the rules for minority views, and I would advise the committee to respect that, and that those views are, in fact, reflected. That is so. And I think it should also be clearly indicated perhaps where and what those views, where they originate from, so that it is clear that those are only the views of a minority in the party. Thank you.
Right. Members, do you wish to add anything? Sorry, Honourable Alberts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've tried to find a compromise here. I think that it would be good to put in body of the report itself the matters that the minority or the other parties differ with, the minority views within the report. But I do not think that if you would say within those points that the full explanation is annexed here to and is incorporated as an annex here to this report, that would be diminishing the status of the report or would be in breach of the rules. So you would have your points in the report itself, but there's an elaboration of all the points or a summary of all the points in one document then that's annexed and then as an annexure A or whatever you want to call it. Thank you.
Right. Having given everyone, I am making my ruling now, Honourable Macpherson. Having heard all of the points raised by the different parties that are present here this morning, heard the advice of Advocate van der Merwe, a senior member of the Parliamentary Legal Office, and also taken on the advice and guidance of the Portfolio Committee Secretary. And if you look at the job description, that is one of his duties. I now make this particular ruling, and that is that the views will be captured succinctly on a particular clause, not the explanation per se, because that will become the subject for a debate. There will be no annexure. Now, we have, in fact, had other reports since one has been deployed as chair here since 2000 and what was it? I don't know. It must have been 9 or 10. That we've had this before, and those views are specific to a clause per se, that the X party disagrees with this because of X. Kept, for example, when I'm just taking one at random here that I see, And that is just to take it, where is a particular clause? Oh, right, it's just here. That was agreed, right, simpler. You know, when it came to, for example, the legal certainty on in duplum, where that clause comes up, one could say a particular party has a different view, which is X because of Y. And then it's expressed in that manner. And the rest of the information becomes part of the debate. So the view is here expressed succinctly by all political parties who have a different position to the majority position adopted. So that is my ruling. And having made a ruling, I want to get on with the work, Honourable Macpherson.
Chair, then what goes under number three then? Yeah. So how does one express a minority view when it comes to issues like processes, when it comes to the historical context? I mean, how does one capture that? How does one capture is any submission that I make on with respect to things like process or financial implications, if that is rejected by the committee, how is that captured then? So I'm actually no closer to understanding how the minority view is captured. And if you refer to the document that I had circulated, there are specific points that I make with respect to implications, with respect to process. Are those going to be now included in the body of this document, and you're just going to highlight a minority view, each point? Because what is the point of three if a contextual ability of the minority is not available to it?
Honourable Charlie, I will not be taking other hands on this particular point.
I wish to concur with Chair, with Honourable Macpherson. The committee's report itself makes provision in number three, bullet point number three, for minority views. And surely minority views, that's the place to insert them, as I suggested that they should be. Further, the intent and purpose of minority views needs to be taken into consideration. It is to... And one perhaps should take a leaf out of the judicial system when minority judgments are being given in the courts. It does not, the presiding judge in his report will give a report as to his judgment and may refer within it or may not refer on specific clauses to particularly dissenting views. But a minority, a dissenting view by honourable judges is then appended to it. Where and how is another matter. Now, for us to depart from this time-honoured principle, which, and I'm not sure which came first, the chicken or the egg, but would be remiss in our duty to democracy and the representation of minorities.
Thank you. As I indicated before, having made the ruling, others have expressed themselves. We'll hear the whip, but I need to share this with everyone, in that we have not adopted this report. Reports are prepared by the Secretariat, believing that they have captured the points expressed. Otherwise, I'll be getting minutes just saying, well, these are our minutes, without them being adopted. This report is not adopted. It is a draft report sitting here. For us as committee members to say, no, where did this come from, etc., etc. So I want to be quite clear. This is a draft Secretariat report. And having said that, I've already indicated that I wanted at this meeting the rules to be referred to, so that we keep within line of the Parliament's framework. No, there are three institutions of government. One of them is the judiciary, the other Parliament, and the other the executive. And there is a separation of powers, which we all have endorsed and accepted constitutionally. Far be it for me to now collapse the Constitution into a FUBS version. So I will not start that today. I will respect my understanding of the Constitution, that we are three separate institutions. We can learn from each other, yes. Parliament, the Constitutional Court, asked Parliament to draw up separate rules to govern its operations. We have done precisely that. And it is for me, as a member of the Office of the Speaker, all chairs serve and are given certain powers to operate within this office, to respect that. I can't do much more. If I have made a mistake in interpreting those rules, this will be said to me. I will get a written communication on this. So, Honourable Khadebe, I'm not sure, you know, I think at this particular point, the position will be the following. And I'll ask Mr. Hermans, because in one sense, this is a draft report coming from them as a secretariat. Can you just speak to it finally, and then the committee can take a decision as to where we will place it precisely, the minority view.
Chair, as you indicated, this is a draft report prepared by the secretariat subject to the approval of the committee. As you can see in the report itself, we do indicate certain particular clauses that were not agreed to or there was not consensus reached on. So what one can do is not to place it there but move it to minority views. But as the committee go through the report, the minority parties may indicate that there's further clauses they would like to express their view on and need to be captured in the report itself.
Right. I'm going to work on a slightly different approach because there will be many comments and it will be captured under that particular clause at the end of the report, noting that there was this particular position, whatever the position is, and these are the views of the minority party in respect of X, Y, Z, and etc. The process, of course, is not part of a section, you're quite right. And I think that there is a need for you to state at the outset in your debate that whatever it is you do not agree with in the way the process was handled. With respect to the bill, we will capture the issues separately. So in other words, it will be section X, a view of X party, it is not agreed with because of X, whatever X is. And you then have a general comment to make, which is a broad one, which could be anything. And you'll have that. That may be process. It may be something else. And that will be captured as well. So on that particular position, I have also asked for staff to get hold of the most senior person, legal person in Parliament, to just clarify that, and otherwise we will now continue. I've just been informed that Advocate Frank Jenkins is not the most senior person at this moment in time. You know, members are here, there, and everywhere. And that, in fact, Advocate Charmaine van der Merwe, as we sit here, is the most senior person in Parliament in the legal division. So, your final comment, Advocate van der Merwe?
Chair, I do think that the way that you've proposed would accord with the rules. and would accordingly pass the necessary tests. Thanks.
Thank you. So we will then embark on this last process through you, Mr. Hermans.
Chair, you have the report in front of you. You have to submit it to the committee for their consideration, and we go through page by page. Where there are differences, we need to capture them.
Right, the report of the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry on the National Credit Amendment Bill XYZ 2018, dated 4th September. Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry, here and after, I see it's referred to as committee, having initiated the Credit Amendment Bill, etc., classified by the Joint Tagging Mechanism as a Section 76 bill, reports as follows. Even though you've had this for a few days, I'm just going to go slower. I'm not reading every word, but I'm going to say introduction, first paragraph. Just raise your hand if there's any disagreement. I would like us to avoid the punctuation and spelling and leave that to staff to clean up. Paragraph 2, beginning furthermore. Honourable MacPherson?
You should also include in the first paragraph that in terms of the National Credit Regulation, National Credit Act, that debt relief is also given to those who have been lent money recklessly, and they are able to have their debt extinguished. That is also a form of debt relief, and should be included there.
I hear what you said, but I think the point that you are making may be more appropriately placed further down when it deals with reckless lending, which is still part of the intro. So I think we'll let paragraph one go, and if you look at paragraph two...
You see, Chair, with respect, this is my concern with the process taking place, is that, you know, I have a view of how something should be read, or how the overall introduction of the bill should be captured. You disagree with that, and then we move on. That doesn't capture the minority's view on this particular point. And so, if it's going to be a case of every time something is suggested or put forward, and it is simply ruled as no, we'll do it somewhere else, that is not a true committee report that reflects the views or opinions of others outside of the majority.
Thank you, Honourable MacPherson. Honourable Williams.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I disagree with the Honourable MacPherson. I don't think that the minority can dictate to this committee where they're going to put that information. The information will appear in the bill. You didn't reject it. You just said it would be more appropriate for it to sit next to where we talk about reckless lending in this particular case. So I don't think that we should say that the minority view is being completely disregarded. It is going to be in there. It's just going to be in a more appropriate place to put it, where it's talking about, you know, it can't just be stuck wherever they want it to stick. Thank you.
And I'm not going to debate that as a dialogue, Honourable MacPherson. No, please. May I ask us to look at two? We had finished with one. Your hand was not up, and we were actually on paragraph two.
Can you just assist me to understand that the minority view will be decided by the majority view? Because that effectively is what the Honourable Williams is saying, that they will decide where the minority view is captured. And that is problematic.
I think you've completely misunderstood. And we're not going to, I mean, I may now start taking umbrage with the way connection is spelled, because three dictionaries spell it differently. Are we then going to insist on going this way or that? I think what we are asked to do as legislators is to be rational and reasonable. And that is exactly how we're going to address this report. Honourable Hadebe?
Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Williams is correct. That the minority cannot dictate to the majority how the report must state. What I want to emphasize just from the word go is that the majority agrees with this report. I'll be honest. I'm the whip of the majority party here. It agrees with that. So if they've got any issues, then they can go to a particular thing, but not make us redraft the report in the way they want to suit them. Thank you, Chair.
Paragraph 2, I had put that forward, Honourable Kachali.
In paragraph 2, it says, according to the committee, this constitutes unfair discrimination based on social economic status, and these inclusions affect the equal enjoyment of rights as envisioned in Section 9 of the Constitution. Now, Section 9 of the Constitution simply says that everyone is equal before the law. Section 9 of the Constitution says everyone is equal before the law and has the right to protection and the benefit of the law. This particular bill here overrides the law to provide relief. And there's a qualitative difference between overriding the law to provide relief, which may or may not be justified, and saying that these exclusions affect the equal rights as envisaged in Section 9 of the Constitution, which says that everyone is equal before the law. I think we are conflating issues here and we need to address them.
Thank you for that specific point, Advocate van der Merwe.
Chair, the reason why this bill addresses a gap in respect of equality is that currently the natural person insolvency law systems in South Africa only provide for people who have income, who has assets. People who do not have assets, who do not have sufficient income, are not currently, there's no provision made for them to obtain relief from debt or from over-indebtedness. So the equality concern was that there's discrimination on socio-economic principles. Because you are poor, you should not be getting this. Because you are poor, you can't pay your way out of this. And that is then, in fact, the committee considered a thesis done by Ms. Kutsia, where she expanded on this principle of this being a matter of discrimination based on socioeconomic principles.
Right. Paragraph 3, in addition, the committee had been concerned.
Goes over the page on employment level,
coupled with rising living costs, particularly the cost of electricity, water, fuel and food, which has constrained most South Africans' disposable income. On page 2, although it's not numbered, paragraph beginning the process of developing the National Credit Amendment Bill to provide.
Now I believe that there are more points that can be added to the introduction. How do you want me to do that?
Well, as I say, we've heard the majority party supports this, so you are, what you are pointing out is that you would like, as the minority party, this is, in your opinion, this doesn't really reflect what should be reflected, and you would like to add something. Isn't that it?
That's correct.
So you have an objection to the intro on this basis.
Yes.
What basis is it?
So I would like to introduce what was agreed to in the memorandum, That is on page one of my submission. And I would also like to add then about the establishment of a subcommittee headed by the Honourable Williams. I think that those would be two important points, because what is not captured in the report is what the objectives of the memorandum to the House was. And if you choose not to put it in the introduction, I think it's important that those two points are added, because I cannot actually find in the bill where it mentions the establishment of a subcommittee. And that is a material fact with relation to the report. And I also think it would be important.
Well, I want to address that, because it is under process followed. Under process followed. This is simply the introduction. Under process followed, you will find a reference to the resolution that the subcommittee followed. So I don't want to go down that street at all. It is there, and we're now moving from the intro to the amendment.
Okay, so just for the record, the committee again rejects the view of the minority of where to put this in the report.
I don't think you are capturing the context correctly. Honourable Williams, followed by Honourable Hadebe.
Chairperson, I don't think it's that we're rejecting what the Honourable MacPherson is saying. We're just saying that, for instance, on that part that talks about the process, there's quite a long reference to the subcommittee. So it's going to almost be repeated over and over again. We put it in the beginning. There's no page numbers on this report, but it's in that section on process followed. They talk about the subcommittee, and I don't think we're rejecting it. We understand, but the point is we need to make this. We can't just keep having things repeated, repeated, repeated.
Thank you very much, Honourable Williams. Honourable Hadebe.
Chairperson, I was also going to just say what Honourable Williams has said, that in the process, the issue of the subcommittee which was done is there. So it's not a matter of rejection. So if he wants to do, we can put it there, that the subcommittee put the name of Honourable Andrian that was chairing that. I think that's what he's making.
Yes, no, quite. We could have added Honourable Williams. But, let me get to a substantive issue. I think what can be captured, which is not captured, you know, A, B, C, D, E, etc., could well be the point that you are making, Honourable MacPherson, on page one of your submitted report here, in which you indicate this about, you know, when it was done, etc., as so as to provide for A, B, C, D, E. You follow those on your page one. Now, that to me is not repeated in that manner, word for word, under process, etc., and this is part of that memorandum. And I think that, you know, that could possibly be captured in the intro, because you start talking about the beginning. As to exactly where it should be captured, I'm having a look. And it may have to be captured. So we've got first paragraph there, furthermore, in addition, and perhaps before we get to the second page, the process of developing, we could actually then, yes, I'm looking for that, there we are, the 13th of October 2016, when the committee adopted a resolution, etc. Do you see that there? And then at that point, we add that section in. So I think that's not an objection or anything. You're actually improving a committee report. So let's, and I think you've added something very pertinent. All right, can we move from there, Honourable Hadebe?
Right.
Well,
it would read in this manner, that after you get to the second page, the second paragraph there, it talks about this process underlines the, this report outlines the process followed in developing this bill, the amendments to that, it's financial, it's joint tagging. But effectively, in the after consumers, 1, 2, 3, 4, your fourth line in that paragraph, before you get to this report, I think that the point should be made that this had been agreed to in the memorandum adopted in the House. Yes, I'm going to ask Mr. Hermans to read.
Chair, what we can state is that we can include the decision of the committee that on the 6th of December, the committee took requested permission from the National Assembly to develop this and include that portion. We're talking, referring to Mr. McPherson's submission. In his introduction on the 6th, he starts on the 6th. So that portion then will be incorporated just before. Yes, yes, correct. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that's correct. Yes. That's it. That we go. That's correct, yes.
And
I think that
end with the E.
So we then do come to the reference to the subcommittee further on in the process. And you know, it has been our practice in the past with all our reports to, in the, is it the thanks or acknowledgements, to acknowledge that sort of thing at the end of the report rather than in the middle. But, you know, that's more preference rather than any legal rule telling us what to do. All right? Can we then move to point two, amendments to the National Credit Act? And this is where we go clause by clause. 2.1. For the targeted over-indebted consumers. 2.1.1, you've got clauses 1B and 13, referring to the criteria. 2.1.2, Honourable McPherson.
Thank you very much. I refer to, in my submission, on page 2, paragraph 4, that it was our contention, it's 4 and 5, it was our contention that there was no real substantive...
Sorry, can I just interrupt you there on, for a moment? You are going to be able to address the issue. We're on clauses. Is it 1B and 13, or is it clauses 3 and 13?
2.1.1, the criteria to qualify.
Right, the qualification.
Yes.
With respect to that, just give us the... If it's going to add value and it's accepted by everyone...
Well, it's a minority view.
Some of the views that are going to be expressed today wouldn't qualify as either a majority or minority, but contributing to the report. Where there's a difference of opinion, you then get the minority report.
Yeah, okay? Yeah. We differed with this. And we believed that there was that these amounts may be considered to be arbitrary in nature. That, in fact, it would be incredible to consider someone who earns 7,500 rand to be indigent. And so it was based on that that we believed that the 7,500 and the total unsecured credit agreements of 50,000 was illogical and without basis. And we also believed that, in fact, what it does is it removes people from debt counselling, which is where they are better placed to be. So how you want to capture that?
Well, exactly as it's captured, Unfortunately, neither the report given to us by the Secretariat or your own has got page numbers. So you'll have to page across to it. Page 1, 2, 3, and 4. Before I refer to it, Honourable Alberts.
Madam Chair, I would just like certainty regarding the minority report. I'm not sure if we should discuss every point as we go through the report itself, the majority report itself, and when we get to the point where the minority views can be heard, that we just list all of our objections there in one shot, as opposed to, you know, going line by line and then opposing it, because it will be reflected in the minority view later on. But you know, it's a question whether we will do it this way or whether we will lump them all together and then discuss them once we get to that paragraph. Thank you.
Well, you know, I know all members have studied the report. If you go to that page 4 and you look at 2.4, new enforcement measures, and below that you'll see the committee agreed to all clauses except 14B, etc., where the Democratic Alliance proposed an amendment. The committee rejected the amendment proposed by the Democratic Alliance in this regard. And then it goes on to say, further, on clauses 1B, definition of debt intervention applicant, etc., regarding the cap, etc., 7, 5 and 50, total unsecured debt cap, the Democratic Alliance indicated they do not support these caps. It is already in. And the thing is, in the debate, parties will be able to expand on the reasons why they made these objections. So I think that we have to read the report contextually. As I already said, I would like, where it is not captured within, where we can note that under the process X, but it would seem that under the process we have already included the point that the Honourable Macpherson wanted to put in. So there is no objection. There's none if it's already included. So I do take your point that at the end we should capture that. But where it has been captured already, there's no need to repeat it. I think that's the point. And I do urge members, you've studied this now, and I think that, Honourable Macpherson, you're very familiar with what you have said in your own report. And no doubt you'll be able quickly to pick it up wherever it is. We move through these, but please check that it's not captured elsewhere. 14B, Clause 29B, Clauses 3, 13 and 15, short-term intervention will be available for 3 years after the implementation. This measure involves the extinguishing of debt defined in 1C. For those applicants who are unable to either pay their debts at all or unable to solve within a reasonable time, 60 months, and it goes on. Goes on to the next page. And it indicates on this next page, if at the end of 24 months the consumer is still unable to service their debt, the debt may be extinguished. The consumer will be permitted to re-enter the credit market after being prohibited from obtaining any further credit for a mandatory period of at least 6 months, which can be extended by the NCT by a further 6 months. The Minister is to assess the impact of this measure within 48 months of implementation and report to the National Assembly in this regard. In other words, we didn't give the Minister the prerogative just to change it, but that he had to come back, or she, to Parliament. If you go back to the previous one here, and I'll ask the staff, what became very clear to me after spending hours on this bill again over the weekend was that national credit providers, or not national, but credit providers, are actually invited to take part of the process right up to the NCT making an order. So they have every opportunity, and this is something some members of the committee were concerned about. Will we be excluding them from being heard? Well, they are not excluded, as you can see. 2.2, for all over-indebted consumers applying for review. You had clause 10. Clause 12B. And then clause 29A. And there was the point about the minister not having a choice, but he must or she must prescribe guidelines on how the court should apply this power to reduce the cost of credit. At the bottom of the page, you have credit active consumers. And one that we were engaged in a lot of debate, deliberation, and consideration and consultation was clause 19E. In this regard, the Minister of Trade and Industry, in consultation with the Minister of Finance, must further prescribe a cap. That's in, not after. So it was made stronger that such credit life insurance that is lower than the existing insurance caps. We then looked at the new enforcement measures, and you will remember, colleagues, that until this bill started to be crafted and deliberated on, not many people were aware that the magistrate did not have any guidance from the bill on what to enforce. So it's not that you're taking powers away. We can't take powers away from the magistrate as such, but you're saying to the magistrate, this in this legislation regards this as an offence, and this is what it is suggesting and proposing. So this comes about for the first time. Therefore, it is now a criminal act to perform unlawful activities. One of these unlawful activities, as we know, are illegal lenders, the lack of registration. Clause 26. The bill also introduces penalties for these offences. Then we come to a bill where the Democratic Alliance proposed a specific amendment, which is noted here, 14B, Section 87, 1A, small Roman numerals R2DD, Arabic, small, where the Democratic Alliance proposed an amendment. The committee rejected the amendment proposed by the Democratic Alliance in this regard. Now, furthermore, on clauses, and I'm just asking Mr. Hermans for clarification here, at this point where the Democratic Alliance did reject that. Can they? We got something here in the minority report. And then I'll check with Honourable MacPherson. I just want to read it.
All right. Now that's what you have already
spoken to, Honourable MacPherson, and that is that it. There was no real explanation of how these figures were arrived at and how a person earning X a month, 7,500, could be considered indigent, etc. And you also referred to what you call the arbitrary nature. You will know that from our constitutional expert, is it Advocate Wim Trengrove, he didn't share that opinion. We then move, you've put minority views here. You can see some of the views have been captured within the report. And I think the best position is to capture these views at the end so that we include all of the bill, the report, and not just parts of it. Honourable Macpherson?
Sorry, I have actually lost track with how you actually want to consider minority views, because it's changed four times.
Changes?
Whether it would be
the first change
would be under a submission, whether it would be included in the report, whether it would be on each specific clause, or whether it would be at the end of so I'm actually confused
right,
about exactly. So you got to let me finish. You can't ask me a question and then shut me down.
No, Honourable Macpherson, I have made
right
it clear that where we have captured the minority views, those remain here. Where they have not been captured, and there are certain things that since you spoke, we've agreed upon that process, the introduction. We have since agreed upon that. So as you come to the end, I did say at the beginning, the practice so far has been that this comes at the end before we go to the recommendation, so that it's effectively captured.
So I would like to further add to that part under 2.4, if I may, with respect to, I think it is section 15, that effectively we believe that that is one of the most egregious parts of the bill, in that debt can be extinguished after 24 months and allow someone to then enter back into the credit market 6 months later. And we think that this would have a massive impact on credit providers and the cost of lending, and lead to unintended consequences by pushing more people into illegal credit lenders.
Right. There'll be only one little phrase added, and that is the Democratic Alliance is of the view X and captured. Is that an order? Right. Honourable Macpherson, just write it down on Mr. Herman's is requesting, so that we're
It's on the final page of my submission, the last paragraph.
Now that's very helpful. Right. Now wait, I think the Honourable Macpherson was referring to his own report in that instance, that it is already captured there. It seems to be longer than expressed, but I mean, that is it, right? Honourable Khadet.
Chairperson, in this report, where will it be reflected? In the minority view or rule?
Honourable Macpherson asked if it could not be captured alongside the 2.4.
So you've got the first paragraph is the committee, then you've got furthermore, then I'd like to add a third paragraph with the Democratic Alliance further contends.
Let us not debate it, because we've agreed in principle it's got to be there, and now we're just trying to locate its position. All right, let's leave it for the moment. Process followed. Process, in part, the process is already... Yes, sorry, Honourable Albert.
Madam Chair, I just want certainty on point three, minority views. We have about 10 points we would like to include there. I don't know whether you would like to hear them now and have them discussed, or whether we should just send them to you for inclusion.
Being a bill, you can't simply send them. We need to see them. So we'd need Mr. Herman's to print that. So
okay.
if you could send them to Mr. Herman's now.
Right, I will do so.
And then, in principle, if it can be added to one of the specific clauses, it should be. Otherwise, it will be captured on the minority view at the end.
Yes. Thank you very
much. So will you... Thank you. Mr. Herman?
Yeah.
All right. We then move to the process, which unfortunately the pages, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, page 5, beginning on recommendation of the subcommittee. Honourable Maxford.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to add in there that the committee adopted a resolution to establish a multi-party subcommittee that was chaired by the Honourable Williams.
Yes, in fact, subcommittees and the rules of Parliament can only be multi-party. It's like saying we elected a Parliament and then we say we elected a multi-party Parliament. Constitutionally, we don't have a choice. Well, are you going to? Right. Can we? No. No, I took that as more of a light-hearted comment, you know. Now, I think that was rather light-hearted. The point I'm making is everything here must be multi-party, unless you're working within your caucus. So I don't think it's necessary. On the recommendation of the subcommittee, the committee held X hearings, and then...
I had made two proposals that... would be a multi-party subcommittee, and that was chaired by the Honourable Williams. I think it's important that the House knows who chaired it.
The practice in our reports has been to acknowledge people who perform a specific service under acknowledgements at the end, and not specifically there. And in fact, all the names will be mentioned. It wasn't only Honourable Williams who chaired. There were several of you sitting in that subcommittee. Honourable Tierko?
Thanks, Chair. We will acknowledge everybody there and indicate who played a role on this.
In fact, who served the tea, etc. No, that's just a light-hearted comment to get me moving back to the report. At the top of page 5, we have Debt Counsellors Association. When I was looking at the report, and I'm sure many of you are keeping up to date with the media and social networking, etc., you will see that debt counsellors have occupied a lot of space, let me put it that way. And so I thought that I would take all my files home, which was one of the rare occasions my suitcase was in the hold, you know. And it was so heavy with paper. And quite frankly, I was surprised how often they had been in the subcommittee as well as the main committee, and then also during their submissions. So I thought, well, either... no one listened to them, they're not captured anywhere, and then I looked at the matrix, which shows the report and what is taken from these submissions, and we did include a number of issues, including, along with the credit providers, etc., which was almost linked to certain counselling, that they had complained that it wouldn't be fair and just for them not to be able to comment when the National Consumer Tribunal was doing its work. And I think members accepted that and then put the spit in about right to the end. So you've got everyone there. Of course, I noticed that there were many more that came to the subcommittee. It is possible for us to list all of them in an annexure, but I think they are mentioned further on the sixth page. You go on with the deliberations. The minutes are noted here. You then go on to the 17th of May. There is one issue. Oh, no, that's further on. The 17th of May, the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. And I must say, that was very constructive having them engage with the committee and assist us. On the 17th, on the 20th of June, we had once again the Constitutional Legal Services of Parliament. But what for me was very important was that the committee further engaged with departments of labour. And I think a previous member in the committee raised this issue, the Honourable Skalkwyk, when she was here, that labour were concerned about certain issues, so we invited them along. Honourable MacPherson?
Thank you very much. At this point, I would like to add a minority view, because after, I don't know what page we're on. So with the paragraph starting on the 20th of June 2017, at the end, and if you refer to on my submission, sorry, I just need to find it if you don't mind. So our next time I'll put. Sorry, I actually just...
Shall we just move on and you come back to that? Because if you can come back, we need you back on that.
Okay, yeah.
The next page is then the 14th
of November 2017. And you go on about the draft legislation, the submissions, the Government Gazette, and then you talk about 31 further submissions. Honourable Williams?
Chairperson, I don't know if it's covered in the report, but I would like to say that the report is naming all of the people that we came to the public hearings, but the South African Communist Party came to the hearings, and so I don't see it here, so if perhaps you could include that in there, please.
No, obviously, would you like us to include the symbols? Just the name. Honourable MacPherson.
Thanks. It's page 2 of my document at the top, under process. It notes there that I had submitted a 9-page document to the committee with respect to considering the framework for the implementation of debt forgiveness, and it sought to make a number of proposals, and I was, you will recall, you did not allow me to present it to the committee, and in fact it was never discussed, and I would like to note that as a minority review with respect to the construction of the framework with respect to the bill.
Thank you. Unfortunately, Mr. Hermans isn't here. I was going to ask him purely for confirmation. I do remember the report which you gave us in Mark's building during a committee meeting. Was Mark's, and you gave it to us there, but it was in a committee meeting. I think that's the important point. But I believe that it was distributed because there were references. I actually also made references to it, but no, you were not allowed to present it. The committee declined to receive it as such, but it was distributed. But I am going to confirm the distribution with Mr. Hermans.
Chair, it was distributed, but again, I was sorry. Well, I mean that's the point.
Honourable MacPherson.
I mean the key for me here is that that during a committee bill that a committee member was myself was not allowed to present that document to the committee on the framework for the bill. And I would like that noted somewhere in the minority views with respect to that particular passage of the bill.
I'm just confirming with Mr. Hermans that you had agreed it had been distributed. That was that point. And let me just hear Honorable Hadebe.
Chairperson, I wanted to emphasize that part, that it was distributed. So if it was distributed, but then it was not accepted by the committee, that's it. It was not accepted, because if it was accepted, its input would have been in the main report. So basically it was rejected.
I think for us to ensure that it's correctly captured, what had happened is the Honourable Macpherson asked if he could present it. I think there's a little bit of a difference there, and I said no, it could be distributed and comments could be made from the report. Honourable Macpherson?
Yeah, your version is correct. It was never rejected or accepted by the committee. It was just distributed. And that's the critical point to make.
I'm glad we agree on that. Right, and then the association, debt recovery, it's got these 31 of them, submissions. Is there anyone left out here? Honourable Macpherson?
So is that being included in some point with respect to, because we are now on process, and that would be a minority point that I would want to make regarding that part of the process.
I do need to check on one thing, Honourable Macpherson, as to when it occurred, as to where it will go. I'm sure you appreciate that's a technicality, all right? So what we will say there is that the DA, the Democratic Alliance, requested to present a report to the committee. It was only agreed that the report could be distributed and members could refer from it, could refer to it or whatever. But we do need a date for that. I don't have that date. All right. We'll get that. Are you ready with that other issue where we left it because you were looking for it? Oh, is that the issue? Right. Okay. Then we move to the next paragraph about NEDLAC. And then we move to the March 2018. And the committee, tour of the United Kingdom, study visit there. On the next page, there's a reference to the committee continued with its deliberations. And then we, Honourable Macpherson, just indicate where you're referring to.
Thank you, Chair. I'll refer to the paragraph, the committee continued with its deliberations. And then if you go to page 1, 2, 3 of my submission, under the paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4, resulting from further deliberations, I think it's important to, if it's not captured, and I can't see if it is captured, Mr. Hermans, what those specific sections were that were published again. It was 12B, 29A, and 29B. You have correctly noted that a number of submissions were received from stakeholders, and a minority view that I would like to note is that these were sent to the members of the Portfolio Committee. However, the committee decided, a majority view, that no further engagements would be had with those stakeholders. You will recall that we had specifically asked for that, and that was rejected by the committee.
Thank you. Honourable Macpherson. Mr. Hermans is refreshing our minds that the question was, could they then come back for oral submissions? And the committee decision on it, position was that, no, we would address what we had received. And that I think the DA were asking almost, if you like, for the specific stakeholder who'd made a particular submission to come and address that. The challenge became you'd almost have to reopen the public hearings again. And this was not accepted, but it was accepted that they should be discussed by the committee. So the Democratic Alliance was of the view that the oral submissions should have been given another set. Yes?
Sorry, let me just help you with that. The DA was of the view that the written submissions should be engaged by the committee with the stakeholders. So if that can be captured as that, as like that, I would be happy. And then obviously to note that that was then rejected by the majority of the committee.
Kadebe?
Chairperson, I think that Honourable McPherson is conflict on that one, that the committee did reject for oral engagement with that because those stakeholders were engaged before. Yeah, I think that one must be also written, that the stakeholders were engaged before in the oral end.
There had been extensive engagements before, and so the committee was of the opinion that this need not be entertained again with the submissions that were made, orally, as it were. But I know, Mr. Hermans, you're going to give that to us. Can I then get back to the report? I think I'm looking at the Honourable McPherson's right. We then get to the financial implications. Honourable McPherson?
Sorry. Yeah, we're going very fast there. I would just like, with respect to the legal opinions or the legal opinion of Advocate Trengove, at the bottom of the page, my submission, starts the legal opinion on the two clauses. I specifically deal with the opinion that was requested, and it was only ever requested on two points or two parts of the bill and never the bill in its entirety. So I would just like to know where that can be noted, because we had specifically asked for an opinion on the bill on its entirety and not just those two points. And then before we head off on from process, and I'm not sure how you want to deal with this, because under my submission, starting with the committee appears to have dealt with all the matters raised in the original memorandum of the House, except one point, and that being point D, effective death counselling. I would... You are on 1, 2, 3, 4. And it is the third paragraph with the committee appears. So I think that that would be important under process, because the fact is that the process relating to point D of the memorandum was never dealt with or entertained by the committee. And I would like that noted as a minority view under process.
As Brenda Merva, you will recall when you submitted this to Advocate Wim Trengove, we were requesting specific constitutional opinions. Could you address this partly, and then we'll come back?
Thank you, Chief. Yes, the matters that were referred to after the trend of were those that had constitutional implications. So there are a number of clauses in the bill that do not have constitutional implications. They are normal legislative provisions. So the ones where we had a concern about constitutionality, those were the ones that were referred to Africa Trengo.
Debe?
Chairperson, I think that the explanation of the advocate is correct. Because when we refer to the constitutionality of the bill, I'm only going to refer to those clauses which can affect it. So basically, it means that the whole bill, its constitutionality was verified by the senior council Because the issue of the process, again, what are the processes we are following? And whether is it going to be the law of general application or not? So that one is covered. So it means that that opinion covered the entire thing.
Advocate Albert, Honourable Albert, sorry, it wasn't your hand, Honourable.
Thank you. My concern had always been that, in fact, a constitutional opinion was required on the bill on its entirety. And I read from Advocate Trengrove's own finding to the committee where he says, the outcome is a bill which is not necessarily user-friendly and may well be vulnerable to constitutional attack for its contradictions and vagueness. Now, it is my contention that some of that had been addressed, but not all of it. And so, while two points had been asked for, our contention is that the whole bill in its entirety should have been deliberated on in the fullness of it, and that was the point that we would like to note as a minority view. And then again, with respect to the not dealing with point D of the original memorandum with respect to debt counselling frameworks for low-income workers. I think that that's important that is put in process, that was not dealt with.
Well, the point is this, when committee members, especially within a committee bill itself, deliberate on issues. Issues are raised around specific clauses, not every single clause per se. And that was the request from the committee. There was no objection to what was in there at that committee meeting. So I'm not sure if you were there at that moment, as it were, but this was then agreed that Advocate van der Merwe would write to Advocate Trengrove to get his opinion on the constitutionality of the clauses raised. She didn't just identify these clauses. These clauses were identified by the committee members who sat in at that time, or which possibly she indicated there could be a challenge here. Honourable Hadebe?
Chairperson, what I like most with the input of Honourable McPherson is that he emphasizes that it is his opinion. But we feel that even number D in his submission was effectively dealt with. That's why we have the issues of Elendo, financial literacy. We said that part of dealing with whenever someone makes an application for that, he or she will have to be provided with financial literacy lento instruction around that is part of effective debt counseling. That's the framework. Yeah, it's part of the framework. So I think that issue of D, but if they feel that it was not dealt with, the majority feels that it was dealt with, that's why the clauses were put, that's why they were advertised, that even the necessary provision be made by the DGR so that they can be led to financial support for that program.
I think we've heard enough then on this. I'm going to take the Honourable Kachalia first and then yourself, Honourable McPherson.
I think for some clarity, Chair, here, the point is that this committee, through the Advocate van der Merwe, sought an opinion from Wim Trengrove on the constitutionality of the bill. That this committee saw fit to direct his inquiry to one, two, or three points is neither here nor there. The point is that the point of referring it to him to reflect on the constitutionality and to provide input, to provide an opinion, may well focus on the points that we directed him to, but he would be at liberty to reflect on other points as well. And that's the point the Honourable McPherson is making. And I think that needs to be recorded.
No, thank you. One moment. I just want to get the opinion out myself.
Can I proceed?
Now, at the constitutional opinion by Advocate Wim Trengrove, and as I think everyone acknowledges, we refer the bill and ask, this is the bill, this draft of the bill and its constitutionality, and in particular XYZ, whatever XYZ is. He responds as a footnote on this bill. I appreciate the draft 6 of the bill on which my opinion is based. He doesn't say clause X and Y and Z, but that's how he starts. His work in progress and is not a polished final product. Accordingly, I merely urge that its formulation be carefully reviewed. He talks about the complexity of this bill and the wording. The bill is hard to decipher and understand. He also indicates that, in his opinion, there are certain omissions here and there. The outcome may not be user-friendly. But he then concludes that, in respect to the debt forgiveness, it satisfies the requirement of the Constitution. The power conferred to introduce again constitutes an unconstitutional delegation of power. And that is why, if you recall, we had to go back to one of the clauses in that regard. I'm sure you all remember that. I don't want to belabor the point by reading the 5 last pages, because you've all got a copy of this. But it's quite clear from his opinion that he has had to look at the entire bill in order to give the opinion we requested. So one does feel there is solid ground for that. The other reference you make to the debt counselling, I think the Honourable Hadebe has indicated, in the end the committee decided the important issue was some form of support for financial, what should we call it, literacy. It was called literacy in one respect and then capability in another. But that effectively everyone who found themselves in this predicament would, before they left with any help, would have to undergo some form of help that would be given. And that is captured in the bill under literacy, to the point where the issue came up about the cost, who would pay for this, how would it be addressed. So I do want you to keep that in mind. And I now want to move.
You had indicated you'd give me an opportunity. I think the minority view is that a legal opinion should have been obtained for the bill in its entirety. So I don't know how you want to reflect that, or if you're choosing not to reflect that. The second part is, I'm astounded that financial literacy is now considered debt counselling for low-income workers. Because you didn't say that, but the Honourable Hadebe did. I just don't think that if that's the view, then we are completely opposed to that. So with respect to process, we still believe that effective debt counselling framework for low-income workers has not been deliberated by this committee, not once. We need to understand how you choose to, or how you want to reflect those two minority views.
Writer, I am conscious of my time constraints where this bill, we were hoping we would conclude on it at 11. Do you see that? We do have something else to deal with. And I'm not going to have the department leaving without us addressing the issues we asked them to come down on. Yes, DDG, Masocha.
Morning, honorable members, and morning, Chair. Thank you so much. I just wanted to add that during the process of the bill, there were two other legal opinions by National Treasury and the DTI that also looked at issues of constitutionality. So just to add that there were other legal opinions as well that assisted to improve the context of the bill.
Right. We're going to have to get to a point where we can just leave it for today. I'm sure you appreciate that. No, we can't carry on with it because we do have a whole section here which should have started at 11. And I can't simply say, right, now that we're moving on everything. So what I'd like to do is this. On the constitutionality issue under the D there, we've heard what the DA is going to say or wishes to say, the view. We've heard the ANC. I don't know if there was any point that the Freedom Front wanted to comment on. Suffice to say the bill went to Advocate Trengrove in its entirety and to in particular, we were concerned with two of the clauses. And that's where we're going to have to leave it today. And then we'll ask the table, the secretariat to return our document to us tomorrow with page numbers. So where we're going to leave it today, just so that you're fully aware, is on the committee report. I think it's page 6. Yeah, we're over here. We're going to be leaving this report during the month 2018, the deliberations, etc., and then over to page 7. And then that was the link up also with the Democratic Alliance making a reference to the Constitution halfway down this page. We will return to this tomorrow at this point. But we also need to table, where's this, the report and views from the Freedom Front. I just want everyone to have this and also to note, look, it does make reference to other clauses, etc., which we have passed. Is that correct, Honourable Alberts? So the way we'll continue tackling this tomorrow is not to have a debate again there, but rather for Honourable Alberts to indicate what it is he wishes to raise. He also heard what has been said here today. This may alter some of his points or change them in some way. Can we leave it like that, Honourable Alberts? And tomorrow we're due to be here at... No, I said we're due to be here at 8:30, I'm told. 8:30 we will begin so that we can conclude on this. And we'll allocate an hour for that. Is that, members, I'm looking at all of you. Is that acceptable tomorrow morning? Can I have it on record?
Chairperson, we agree that tomorrow morning we start with this. Chairperson, we agree that tomorrow morning we are going to start with the report where we ended today so that we finish it off tomorrow.
Are there any objections? No. Agree.
On that basis, then, I want to thank Advocate Van der Merwe for being
here for this part of the process, but also to... have recognised that during this process we did have the DDG, Dr. Masocha, the National Credit Regulator, Ms. Machigari, the CEO, the Company Secretary, Mr. Mashapa, There were other people in trade and industry. We had Mr. Kumkani, the director, as well as Ms. Zodwa Matawani, director, legal drafting. The National Consumer Tribunal, I don't think, is here. And then that's it. So we've recognized those people here from the department and elsewhere for that part of the session. And we're now going to move to... members have asked for just a 3-minute comfort break.